Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. Chapter 6, Out of the Frying Pan into the Fire. And you might think that title sounds a little bit odd. I mean, the frying pan? That situation with the goblins and Gollum was only the frying pan and not the fire? This does not bode well for the party or for Bilbo, it seems. And I also, when you look at this, you look at the way the book has been structured so far and the increasing amount of danger from one section to another, it makes sense. This is the way fiction works. This is the way mythology works. This is the way stories work. This is the way human beings like to engage with a narrative. You have to constantly ramp up the tension until you get to the major climax of the story, and then it resolves, of course. And we just went through a major climax, and we are in the unenviable section where things have to kind of settle down. But yet, the situation is still dire. We have the dwarves and Gandalf, who have just barely survived the goblins, and we have Bilbo showing up on the other side of the mountain range with all of them, but with a secret and a change. Not just the fact that he has the ring now, but Bilbo is different from this point forward. The version of Bilbo that we get up until this point is somebody who was much more leaning on the side of the Baggins part of his personality. And this isn't to say that he won't do that in the future. Bilbo is Bilbo. He will always have the two sides of his personality. But I think what is most important here is the dilemma he just went through and the fact that he is equipped with a tool, the ring, that gives him more options, enables Bilbo to be different, to be a little bit more sure of himself. He's equipped, he's made it through some dire situations already, and it seems like there's something different in his personality, or at least something that is more able to make its way to the surface. Or, I guess if you were looking at things with a much more, dark perspective, maybe some of this is changed by the fact that he is now the bearer of the One Ring. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what happens as Bilbo and the party leave the mountain behind. The story picks up with Bilbo not really sure where he is or what's going on. In the very second sentence, we get kind of a summary of everything that he had lost. He lost his hood, his cloak, food, his pony, his buttons, and his friends. And the fact that they include buttons in there, I think, is important. And I say they, of course, it's Tolkien. But the fact that that is included is important. Like I noted before, the buttons are representative of who he was before. A buttoned-up character. Somebody who was dressed more for a social gathering than for an adventure. And the narrator here lets us know that he's not exactly lost. A glimpse at the horizon informs him that he's behind the mountains. Somehow, unaware of what he was actually doing or where he was actually going, he made it out onto the other side, which is serendipitous, but there is a good reason for this. The goblins had designed their back exit as a way to get through the mountains themselves and as a place where they could escape if they needed to escape out the back door. Just like any good building design, just imagine the building is an entire mountain range. And we get this quote from Bilbo. "Good heavens," he exclaimed. And I notice he's talking out loud to himself. "I seem to have got right to the other side of the Misty Mountains. Right to the edge of the land beyond," capitalized. Land beyond. Where, oh where, can Gandalf and the dwarves have got to? I only hope to goodness they are not still back there in the power of the goblins. This seems a little comical. It seems like the kind of thing that you would think to yourself, but he's speaking out loud, and I feel like the tone is shifted back to something a little bit more playful, and for good reason. We just went through some very dire straits. Things got really serious there for a moment. So to get this exclamation out loud to himself is interesting, but also the fact that he calls this the edge of the land beyond. I talked about previously how Elrond's Rivendell, was kind of the edge of the civilized world in a way. But now we are even further beyond that. We are to the land beyond. We are over the mountains. Everything else from here is foreign, absolutely foreign. And those other locations were already foreign to Bilbo, but even to the dwarves. These are dangerous, unexplored lands in some ways. There are specific paths that we will learn about that you have to stay on because those are the only paths that are, well, relatively safe to travel on. Everything else is wild. So Tolkien is already setting us up for the next step, what the fire might actually be. And the next thing that Bilbo wonders after realizing that he's now on the other side of the mountains is, where to go next? Where are the dwarves? Where is Gandalf? And he considers going back into the tunnels to look for them. And remember, I noted that there is a change in Bilbo's perspective here and his personality. In that moment, we are told that he had just made up his mind that it was his duty, that he must turn back. And he felt miserable about it, but he had decided that he would brave those dangers again to find his friends. That feels like a very different Bilbo than we would have seen in the past. A Bilbo who was concerned about his duty and his friends rather than the comfort of home. And that's when he hears the voices. And of course, we know this is the party. This is the dwarves and Gandalf talking. And he makes his way down. And of course, he's being clever. I mean, he doesn't know exactly what this is at first. And he works his way down the edges of this stony path along the, the base of the mountain. And we're told that he sees where the ground slopes away and there were dells. And I was curious about this. Dell is not a word that, at least here in the US, we use very often. I'm familiar with it, but I wanted to look up the actual definition. Turns out, a dell is a grassy hollow or dried stream bed, often partially covered in trees. In literature, and this is interesting, dells have pastoral connotations, frequently imagined as secluded and pleasant safe havens. They are in a dell. Bilbo discovers the dwarves in a setting that is safe and hidden. The exact opposite of where he thought they were originally. So clever that that word has that meaning, and Tolkien used it specifically in order to maybe even subconsciously let us know that they are in a place of safety. And in realizing this, Bilbo has a reaction. It says he could have clapped and shouted for joy, but he did not. And the very next sentence says he had still got the ring on for fear of meeting something unexpected and unpleasant. And he saw that Balin was looking straight at him without noticing him. He still had the ring on. Is this affecting his decision-making? It is very clearly pointed out for the reasons of saying that even when Balin was looking at him, he could not see him. But there's something else going on here. Bilbo thinks to himself, I will give them all a surprise. And he crawls out and he sneaks up on them. And we get this debate that's happening. The dwarves were grumbling, and I love that use of the word grumbling. They grumble, they're all kind of grumpy and grumbling. And Gandalf was saying that they could not possibly go on with their journey, leaving Mr. Baggins in the hands of the goblins. Notice the mirroring of duty here. The same exact thing that Bilbo felt about going back and finding them, Gandalf is suggesting to the rest of the party here. For the first time, Bilbo's decision-making matches Gandalf's. Interesting, right? And we get Gandalf's justification for this. He says, after all, he is my friend, said the wizard, and not a bad little chap. I feel responsible for him. I wish to goodness you had not lost him. And notice there's a little bit of blame. Grumpy Gandalf is blaming them for losing him. The dwarves wanted to know why he had ever been brought at all. This is the very next sentence, the very next paragraph. And they start debating the value of him. They start, they're very conflicted here. Why would you even bring him? He was clearly somebody that we needed to take care of who couldn't fend for himself. That seems like a terrible decision. They're looking for blame and they're looking to justify the terrible assumption that they have that Bilbo would not be able to take care of himself. He has been more trouble than you so far, said one, not noting which one, by the way. If we have got to go back now into those abominable tunnels to look for him, then drat him, I say. Notice the dwarves are not as worried about duty here. They're not so worried about saving Bilbo as they are about themselves. Now, we have to think about this in context. We know that they need to get to the Lonely Mountain by a specific date in order to have any hope of finding the secret door. So there is a time-pressing element here. But also, They don't want to go back in and deal with all those goblins. That sounds very dangerous. It would make sense from just a purely rational perspective that if you only lost one of the party, maybe you should just be thankful that the rest of them made it out rather than risk everybody. But Gandalf, Grumpy Gandalf, responds, "I brought him and I don't bring things that are of no use. Either you help me to look for him or I go and leave you here to get out of the mess as best as you can yourselves. If you can only find him again, you will thank me before all is over." And then we get the blame thing again. "Whatever did you want to go and drop him for, Dory?" He calls out Dory, blaming Dory for dropping Bilbo. He's basically like, "Fine, I'll go back and get him myself. If you guys can't deal with it, you're just going to have to figure out where to go next by the time I catch up to you or whatever. And by the way, thanks, Dory. Why'd you have to drop him?" Like, he's really sassy here. And we have to focus in, though, on one specific thing. "If we can only find him again, you will thank me before all is over." There is foreshadowing here. Gandalf knows that Bilbo will be of value to the party. And there's something about him that genuinely believes that Bilbo is still alive. Otherwise, why go back and look? And as I stated earlier, I think that we're in a moment where this argument is supposed to be a tonal shift. We're back to the party fussing with each other and the comedy of errors or argument or whatever you would define that as. Because Dory stands up for himself and he says, "You would have dropped him if a goblin had suddenly grabbed your legs from behind in the dark, tripped up your feet, and kicked you in the back. Then why didn't you pick him up again? Good heavens, can you ask? Goblins fighting and biting in the dark, everybody falling over bodies and hitting one another. You nearly chopped off my head with Glamdring, and Thorin was stabbing here and there and everywhere with Orcrist." And it goes on and on. And clearly this is a comedic section, but this is also doing something else. It's giving us insight into what exactly happened. Why was Bilbo left behind? And it reveals to us that it absolutely wasn't intentional, not that we thought it would have been, but that the details here were that the dwarves were overwhelmed. Gandalf was busy trying to get them to safety. They were in the dark. It was a dire situation. And as best they could try to keep Bilbo safe, they just couldn't do it. Ultimately, it's nobody's fault. They all had good intentions. So after going through all the details and giving us this kind of a recap of what had happened and why, we get the line, "And here we are without the burglar," and this wonderful word, "confusticate him." Now, I probably was as tempted as you were to just kind of skip over that word. Confusticate. I would imagine in the context it was like, you know, drat him or something like that. But as we've learned, Tolkien specifically chooses his words for reasons. This is a verb. Let's go over it. It means confuse, confound, or perplex someone. So much of the vocabulary confusticates him, confuses him. But it also has a secondary meaning. To make something obscure, unclear, or unintelligible. In this very moment, Bilbo is obscure. He is invisible. He is confusticated. And it's at that very moment when Dory points this out using that word that he slips off the ring. "And here's the burglar," said Bilbo, stepping down into the middle of them and slipping off the ring. And they jump. They are absolutely surprised. And we're told that Gandalf was as astonished as any of them, but more pleased than the others. Remember, Gandalf just called him his friend. Gandalf cares. This is another thing that I think is worth bringing up. There is a lot of debate around how human the Istari were. He's clearly a Maiar. He's clearly a godlike being walking around with a bunch of people who are not godlike beings, dwarves and men and elves. But yet he is still a person. Those godlike beings have emotions. And on top of it, he has been incarnated in a human body. That human body ages more slowly and it is probably a little bit more resilient, although it can die. But it has very real emotions. Gandalf, when he says somebody is his friend, he's not just playing a role. He's not manipulating the situation. He is being genuine. Grumpy Gandalf is grumpy because he's a real person, not because he's a god dressed up as a person playing a role. He's real. And in this moment, it shows. But there is still more to him. Because even though he's in the guise of a person, not the disguise as a person, a guise as a person, he's still wise. But before we get to that, we learn that Bilbo's reputation went up a great deal with the dwarves after this. And they're very confused. Why didn't Balin see him? He was their lookout. How is this possible? Like, how did he survive? How did he sneak up on them? How does all of that work? And Bilbo explains himself, but he does it in a very careful way. He says, "Oh, just crept along, you know, very carefully and quietly." Balin responds and says, "Well, it is the first time that even a mouse has crept along carefully and quietly under my very nose and not been spotted," said Balin, "and I take off my hood to you," which he did. Now, this raises questions. I think this is another comedic moment, because if you didn't spot the mouse, then you wouldn't know that you didn't spot the mouse. Like, there's an ignorance quality there. But also, the fact that he takes off his hood to you symbolically and then physically does it is also kind of comedic. "Balin at your service," he says. "Your servant, Mr. Baggins," said Bilbo. They're back to proper terms here.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
And then we get to the full description that Bilbo gives them about what happened. And we're told that he was considering talking about the ring, but not just now. Why would that be? Why keep this hidden from the party? This seems something of value to all of them. And Bilbo's not necessarily greedy. He likes comfort, and she's not one to go do more than he needs to. But he's not particularly greedy. Is this the ring affecting him? Why conceal the truth here? Also, why sneak up on them and show off if you weren't going to reveal that the ring is how you did it? It seems like one of those dilemmas. It seems like something a little bit out of his character. Well, we get this description. "And then I couldn't think of any other questions with him sitting beside me," ended Bilbo. He's talking about, of course, Gollum. So I said, "What's in my pocket?" And he couldn't guess in three goes. So I said, "What about your promise? Show me the way out." "But he came at me to kill me, and I ran and fell over, and he missed me in the dark." Notice he doesn't say anything about the ring, and yet it still plays like it's reasonable. "Then I followed him because I heard him talking to himself. He thought I really knew the way out, and so he was making for it. And then he sat down at the entrance, and I could not get by. So I jumped over him and escaped and ran down to the gate." What about the guards? They asked. Weren't there any? Oh, yes, lots of them, but I dodged them. I got stuck in the door, which was only open a crack, and lost lots of buttons, he said, looking at his torn clothes. But I squeezed through all right, and here I am. The dwarves looked at him with new respect when he talked about dodging guards, jumping over Gollum, and squeezing through as if it was not very difficult or very alarming. Now, I get that this plays to Bilbo's benefit. This sets up Bilbo in their minds as somebody who actually is brave, somebody who could be a real burglar, somebody who can hide and dodge their enemies, or maybe sneak into a similar cave-like location in order to make sure if there's a dragon there or not. This makes sense. I can see why Bilbo would want to play this up as his own abilities rather than needing the ring to rely on in order to do all of these things. I get that side of it. He wants to prove himself to the party, and he just heard them talking about how he was not valuable and why would you bring him at all, Gandalf? And so he's standing up for himself here, but I still think that there's a little bit more to this. He's probably already bound to the ring in a way where he is afraid that if he reveals it, somebody would take it away. And yet he has no idea that he is being influenced by an external source. And in this moment, Gandalf is both proud of him and happy that he reveals some of his qualities in being a good burglar, because it reinforces the things that Gandalf was trying to say about him, but he's still suspicious. "What did I tell you?" said Gandalf, laughing. "Mr. Baggins has more about him than you guess." And he gave Bilbo a queer look from under his bushy eyebrows as he said this, and the hobbit wondered if he guessed at the other part of his tale that he had left out. Now, I think two things are happening here. First of all, Bilbo is already suspicious. He's hiding something, and so he's going to jump to conclusions about somebody like Gandalf, who he respects and finds to be very wise and very clever, guessing at something more than was currently revealed. This is a very Gandalf thing to do. Gandalf and the wise in general tend to have an understanding of the way things go and can make very accurate predictions about the real circumstances when things are not fully revealed to them. That's something that Bilbo already understands. This seems like it's not just something Bilbo is suspicious about, that he's not just reading this into what Gandalf said, because Gandalf has a habit of pointing things out very cleverly using subtext, insinuating things. Mr. Baggins has more about him than you guessed. Not just more about his personality, but more about what he currently has with him or how he actually got out of that situation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Gandalf suspects that he has a magical ring or the One Ring or something like that. I think what's actually happening here is that Gandalf can tell that he is withholding some information, that he's not sharing everything, that he's not being fully transparent and honest. And Gandalf can sense that, but he doesn't know why. And so the conversation continues and Bilbo gets an update about all of them. And I love this line. We get this line where it says, "The wizard, to tell the truth, never minded explaining his cleverness more than once," which plays in again to this idea that Gandalf is a real person. Sometimes people who are clever, who are highly intelligent or whatever, really like being able to gloat about their abilities and how clever or intelligent they are. I'm one of those people who has enjoyed doing that in the past, and I try to be a little bit more humble about things now because, of course, that doesn't always go over very well with other people, but it's an instinct. When you're good at something, whether it's intellect-focused or not, you know, maybe you're a great basketball player or whatever, you tend to want people to know because it's something you care about. It's something you feel like you've worked on, and Gandalf is no different. And we get this description here about the mountain pass and how they changed their location. The entrance to the goblin tunnels used to be somewhere else, and they decided to move it, which is why Gandalf thought the path that they were going on was potentially safer than where they could have gone. It also explains how they go from one side of the mountain out to the other, because one side's the front, the other side is the back door. It takes you through the mountain. All of that is explained. But we also get this fun word here. We have one more easy to travel by, so that they often caught people benighted near their gate. Benighted. Now, not knight as in K-N-I, like, somebody in armor who has a sword. Benighted as in nighttime. Benighted, which basically means sleeping at night near their gate, which is exactly what they were trying to do. And then we get this, and I don't know necessarily how to take this line, because it may just be funny, it may be Gandalf being funny, it might just be, you know, Tolkien being funny, but it also might be real. Gandalf says, "I must see if I can't find a more or less decent giant to block it up again, or soon there will be no getting over the mountains at all." This implies that, well, two things. One, that the giants are negotiable, or able to negotiate. I don't know if that word actually means that, but they can be approached, and that they are rational beings who can be talked to and maybe convinced to do something. And secondly, that Gandalf thinks that this is an option, that he thinks that maybe he can build a relationship with a giant who would be willing to do this for him, which is kind of silly, but also wonderful at the same time, because that's what Gandalf does, is he builds relationships with groups of people who most people would write off, like hobbits, and finds their usefulness. So you would imagine maybe Gandalf would go, well, maybe I could find a giant who could do that. It's pretty funny. And then we get Gandalf's explanation about what he was doing in order to keep up with the dwarves and to try to save them and all of that. But we get this really interesting line here. He says, well, first he says, a very ticklish business it was. He said, touch and go, which is kind of a fun line there, ticklish business. But of course, Gandalf had made a special study of bewitchments with fire and light. Interesting. Bewitchments. Now, does that mean magic? I think that's probably what that means. The magic of fire and lights, which makes sense. But maybe it's also part chemistry, because we're reminded about the magical fireworks. Maybe it's a combination of both. But then we get one final reveal here. Gandalf knew all about the back door. The entire time that they were working their way through the tunnels, trying to escape the goblins, Gandalf wasn't just running away from the goblins. He was running towards something. He had a plan, an escape plan. He had an option, and he knew where to direct the party to go next. And that feels very Gandalf to me. It's something about the quality of the wise, this idea that they know the options and they're able to adjust and change their plans because they know what their options are. They can come up with a plan B if they need to. That's why the wise are the wise. And we also gain an understanding here of why, when Bilbo made his way through the back door, all the goblins were there and ready for battle, because they had just chased the dwarves out of the door. They weren't all there just because they were hanging out at the back door, and that's always what they did. They were there because they had just lost the dwarves. And then we get this final paragraph for this episode. All the others laughed too. After all, they had lost a good deal. But they had killed the great goblin and a great many others besides, and they had all escaped, so they might be said to have had the best of it so far. And I think that's a good conclusion to this episode. This idea that we are now moving past that conflict, and they got through it. It came out actually pretty good for them. And now they're on the other side of the mountain. Strangely enough, they work their way through a dire situation, and they come out on top. And this will happen again and again and again. It happened with the trolls. It happens here with the goblins and Gollum. And it's part of the fun of the story, is that they keep ending up in these dire life or death situations. And somehow, when they come out the other side, they're better for it. Or at least, it seems like they are. So what do you think? Is Bilbo a little bit different at this point? Do you think his personality has changed? Do you think it's because of his own, well, self-assurity? Or do you think there's more going on? Let me know what you think. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in again. I'm sorry I missed a week. I've had kind of a rough few weeks, and this last week was a convergence of all sorts of things that just got in the way of me being able to be clear-headed and able to do an episode and prepared and everything. It just didn't work out. So I appreciate the patience from all of you. I really do. Thank you so much. Also, in better notes, and I think I just punched my microphone was I was gesture. I gesture while I talk, while I record. I guess I talk with my hands a lot, but sometimes I punch the microphone. But anyway, we've got a bunch of new people joining the Patreon. Thank you and welcome to everybody. Johannes Z, Grand Amy, Jacob W, Felix W, Darv, Abigail B, and Rayan Z. I hope I pronounced your names correctly. If I butchered them, I'm so sorry. Also, we have to shout out all of our VIP patrons. Here we go. AK Music Lover, Apollo, Atle Morton, Azel Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Courtney, I messed up already. Courtney S, Cutter Metalworks. I feel like if I mess up on your name, you should get some sort of reward for that. Like it should be a badge of honor or something. Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B, Gerald CFC, Gimli A Break, Ginger Fury, Huan Is My Hero, Gemma D, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Rich J, Rivqua, Rizzy. Rosie Rose, I messed up another two this week. The Silly Marillion, TJT, and Tour Son of Hooer, thank you so much for your support. Also, we've got two new reviews that came in. Thank you so much, as always, for these. This one comes from The Celestial, who writes, "Give me the lore, smiley face. Great podcast. It's very easy to just pick up an episode and listen to it and even do some notes while the podcast is running if you want to. Me and my friends love discussing Lord of the Rings, and it's great to be able to know the history fast and well. Thank you for this amazing podcast. Stay hungry for lore, folks." Yeah, that's right. Stay hungry for lore. Thank you so much, Celestial. And then we have Darv94, who writes, "Detailed and entertaining. Very informative. I must listen for any LOTR fans. My only complaint is the weird animal noise. Maybe a rooster at the early stage of episode 8 scared the bejesus out of me while listening at 2 a.m. It just added to the setting of the scene, though. Smiley face." I don't remember what sound that was. That was back in the Silmarillion episodes where I was putting sound effects in the early parts of the episodes. And I think maybe it was like a farm setting or something, and there might have been a rooster in the background. I think that maybe that's what you're referring to. So thank you for taking the time to leave those reviews. That is amazing. It helps a ton. Also, if you leave reviews on other platforms or rate the show 5 stars on other platforms, all of that absolutely helps. And if, like the Celestial, you have some friends who love the Lord of the Rings and you'd love to share this with them, that would be huge. It helps grow the audience. It helps make sure that I can keep doing this. And I've got a lot to get through still. I mean, we're only on chapter 6 of The Hobbit. I want to get through all of Lord of the Rings. And recently, I've read a lot of the letters kind of individually from Tolkien's letters over his years that have been published for a while now. But I recently actually picked up the entire book of them and have been reading through them in order, which is a very different perspective than when you just read them individually because they are referring to something that you are researching or whatever. So I'm having a lot of fun getting through that and just seeing the little anecdotes and the way that he responds to his friends or his wife when she wasn't his wife yet, or like some of the personality stuff and the history stuff, getting a better grasp of him as a person, especially in his younger years, is very, very interesting. Even though there's not really talk of the Lord of the Rings in the early sections, you can see the nuggets of life experience and some of the things that he was dabbling with, poetry and writing his own little stories and things like that, that really start to inform what he does later. It makes him feel like a real person. And there's just something magical about that. So I recommend picking that up. And who knows, maybe I'll include some of those in a future episode. Also, in the bonus episode this week, I'm going to be covering the individual dwarfs and what we know about them. So if you'd like to be part of that, of course, you can sign up on the Patreon, patreon.com/LOTRLorecast. And thanks for being here. Thanks for the patience. And I'll see you next week. And until then, maybe if you find a magic ring, you should tell your friends about it.
Just saying. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.